Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Our guest today has been on the podcast before, so welcome back, David Parham, the man behind the Huntsville Adventurer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more about the Huntsville Adventurer, you can listen to David's previous episode on the show. It's called An Inside Look at the Huntsville Adventurer, so you need to look it up. Okay, David, so are there any life updates you want to fill us in on since your last visit?
I've been enjoying the start to the year and the spring and the green leaves coming out, and it's just been beautiful out.
And as always, we have enjoyed seeing all of your posts, your reels, and all your adventures in North Alabama. So thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's jump on in. Tell us why you love hiking so much, David.
Well, I love finding all the different waterfalls and all the different views and all the different caves in our area. I really enjoy nature and getting out and feeling the sunshine and the weather and fresh air. I really just enjoy being outside. And so this has been a great hobby for me to kind of incorporate my joy of being outside with something interesting, which is finding all of these different places.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I know when I'm out in nature walking and hiking around in the woods and on trails, it gives you a chance to clear your mind and just enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just enjoy being in nature.
Especially solo hiking. That's really, really enjoyable because you have the quiet of the woods and just can clear your mind and think about just random stuff or nothing at all.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Well, let's talk about what you think are the top five hikes in North Alabama. So what is your top hike in North Alabama?
So these are more just general areas rather than a top hike.
Okay.
Number one place that you have to go is Bankhead. Bankhead is a great place to get out and be by yourself. And there's not typically a ton of people. Sometimes it can get crowded, especially on weekends, on days that are really beautiful. But if you go in the middle of winter on a Tuesday afternoon, there's no one out there.
Okay, so Bankhead is lovely and beautiful. What are some of your favorite trails in Bankhead to hike on?
Sogehogie Falls is one of the most spectacular waterfalls in Bankhead. This time of year in spring, it has a large amount of flow over it. It's really beautiful. The hike out there, you pass by several waterfalls. It is a great hike. I love Mize Mills Falls because it really feels like you're just dropping into a fairy tale. And mm-hmm. Shangri-La Falls really has unmatched color. So it just has absolutely beautiful color. The green's really vibrant, and then the water's really blue, and it's just an absolute beautiful waterfall.
Okay. So how difficult do you think these three trails are?
Bankhead in general is more challenging than most any other hike in Alabama because it's unmarked trail. So these are social trails. They're not maintained trails. They're social trails, which means that the trails just come because people walk over the land. You don't have mm-hmm. someone coming in and clearing the land and putting up signs. It's considered dispersed recreation. So okay. Bankhead is usually considered difficult. For the most part, there are a couple of them, like Kinlock Falls, which is a little bit easier. But Sogehogie is about a 4-mile moderate to difficult trail. The benefit of Sogehogie is that you can just follow the river, which there's a big river, so you can follow it even without a trail. Shangri-La would be considered difficult because if there's no trail there, you're bushwhacking. It can be difficult to find. And Mize Mills, it's probably moderate to difficult as far as finding it. It's not hard, super hard of a hike, but it isn't the easiest to find if you don't know where you're going.
And you have very detailed notes and links on your website too that will help people to get to these three locations, right?
Right. I try to geotag parking lots and where the waterfall is, if you're going to a waterfall or whatever points of interest it is.
Okay.
But you do have to understand there is no cell phone service out there. You need a good GPS. Your phone is not super reliable, so mm-hmm. you do need a good GPS. And it's best to go out there with a plan rather than trying to wing it when you go out there.
Yeah. And print off any maps too, correct?
Correct.
Or take screenshots or whatever.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Any other important things we need to know before we go hiking in Bankhead?
Just make sure you can navigate Bankhead. I have a great sense of direction, so I do fairly well out there. But I can understand if you aren't planning going out there, then you're not likely to see anything and you have a very good chance of getting lost. So Benka is one of those places that you need to have a good plan.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, let's move on to your next top hike.
Dismal Canyons. So Dismal Canyons is very similar to Bankhead in a lot of the vegetation, but it is kid friendly. The trails are well marked. They have a map. There's a store there. It does cost to get in there, but it's a great alternative if you're not comfortable hiking Bankhead.
Yeah. It's so pretty too, with all the green. And I think we've mentioned before too, like when you drop down into the canyon a little bit, that the temperature drops. Even in the summertime, it's a little bit cooler when you're down in that canyon. So
that's the water soaks up a lot of the heat out of the air, and it's a nice little water effect into any of those canyons that you can feel it coming off waterfalls. You can feel it all coming anytime you're near creeks. It just soaks that heat out of the air.
Yeah, I've hiked out at Dismal's Canyon a couple of times, and you're right. It is easy to navigate. You can tell where you're going and make that loop through there. So it is a really cool place to go. So what is your third top hike in North Alabama?
My third top hike is Stevens Gap. Stevens Gap is one of those places that's super, super unique. It's a cave, and you're able to walk into it. It's kind of steep to get down into it, but if you time it right, you have these beams of light that you feel like you can just reach out and touch. It's absolutely beautiful. And on top of the light, you have a waterfall in the background. It just makes for amazing pictures. It's hard to go out there and not get good pictures of Stevens Gap.
Yeah. So about what time are these beams of light coming in? Because I've always wondered that when I see these pictures, like when are people going?
So that depends on the time of year because where the sun is, but usually you can catch it between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. usually. It's sometime in the late morning, early afternoon is usually the best time to go out there.
Okay. And so can you do this hike without having to rappel down into this canyon? Because I've seen a lot of people doing that, and I've always wondered that as well.
You can do this hike without rappelling into the cave. You can go and rappel into the cave. You have to have a permit from SCCI either way.
Okay.
So you have to go and get a free permit from SCCI, whether you're walking in there or you're rappelling in there. And you must still follow the rules of caving, which is bring a helmet, bring three sources of light. They have a whole list of things and you have to sign a waiver. But it is a free permit and it's not super difficult to get a permit.
Okay. Well, that's good to know about the permit, that there's a little preparation that goes in on the front end of that hike. So good to know. Moving on to your top four hike, where is this located?
Little River Canyon. Little River Canyon is located near Fort Payne, Alabama, and it has a really long canyon and the max depth is over 600 feet.
Oh,
and
wow.
It creates amazing views, lots of waterfalls, and it's just a gorgeous place to go and hike. And it really doesn't even require a lot of hiking in order to see some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Little River Falls is one of the most accessible waterfalls in Alabama. They have a nice short boardwalk down to the view of the falls. You have several overlooks in the canyon that are accessible. You can drive the rim of the canyon, stop at multiple places. There's multiple waterfalls. You can go see the tallest above ground waterfall, Grace's High Falls. Notice I said above ground because there are several below ground that are taller, including Stevens Gap.
Okay.
But it is just an absolutely beautiful place, especially in the fall. It has amazing colors. The views are amazing. And even driving down the road, the trees are just super vibrant and it's a beautiful area.
Yeah, it's a must for your bucket list in the fall for sure. Absolutely. So where are some of your specific trails that you like to hike in Little River Canyon?
I like to hike down to the Hippie Hole. It's a great place for swimming. It's actually really well known. You can park at Little River Falls. You can go see Little River Falls. And then you can take, it's just about a mile and a half round trip, maybe 2 miles round trip, down to Hippie Hole and back out. Hippie Hole has a couple places that you can jump into the water, and it's usually pretty packed during the summer because it's a great place to swim.
Yeah. Okay. How difficult would you say the hike is to get down to the hippie hole?
It's a moderate hike, easy to moderate, probably. It's fairly flat for the most part, but then you have the steps down into the canyon, which is, steps are always more difficult than flat land, but it is pretty much like steps going down. It's not super technical where you have a ton of uneven ground. I'd say it's probably easy to moderate.
Is it kid friendly, family friendly?
Yeah, there's a lot of families that go down in there. There's a lot of kids. There's people that bring down like tents sometimes during the summer. Wow. They bring down tents. I've seen people bring down grills. I've seen people bring down Bluetooth speakers and play music. It can be kind of a party down there. So yeah. A lot of people go down there.
You can make a whole summer day out of it.
Yeah. Some people do. In the winter, though, in the winter, it's nice and quiet. And there's Martha Falls down there, which is still pretty. The last time I hiked it, I had the whole place to myself.
I'm starting to see a theme here that there's always a waterfall nearby with your hikes.
I do like to hike a lot of waterfalls. But, I mean, Alabama has some amazing waterfalls. We do have some views, but they're not as easy to come by as waterfalls.
Right.
In fact, my favorite view in Alabama is in Little River Canyon. It's just south of Eberhardt Point, and it doesn't have a marking on it. It's literally you park on the side of the road and you walk like 20 feet to just a straight cliff, and it's an absolutely stunning view.
Oh, cool. Is it on the Canyon Rim Road?
It is on the Canyon Rim Road.
Okay. All right. Well, that leads us to hike number 5. Where is this?
Number 5, I think everyone should hike DeSoto Falls. DeSoto Falls is a fairly well-known waterfall in North Alabama. The hikes to the bottom and to the vantage point to see DeSoto Falls from a height are not as well-known as just walking up to the top of the falls, but the top of the falls doesn't offer a great place to view the falls. The hike down to the bottom of the falls is wonderful, and it's, if you go in the spring, it's got nice mountain laurel flowers everywhere, and the vegetation changes dramatically from the top to the bottom, and it's a really nice hike. But when you get down to the falls, you can also swim during the summer. You know, it's a great place to go on a summer day.
Yeah, I've seen some of your pictures of DeSoto from the bottom, and it looks absolutely amazing. So is it a pretty moderate or difficult hike to get down there?
Getting to the bottom is probably moderate to difficult. It's not super long, but it's not an easy hike. Okay. It's definitely not easy. I would rate it at least moderate to get down to the bottom. Really getting to the bottom isn't moderate. It's coming back out.
Oh. So you've got a little bit of an incline then is what I'm imagining, correct?
That's right.
But it's worth it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you've seen his pictures, you know it's got to be worth going down there. Well, out of those 5 hikes, which one would you say is your favorite for getting the best pictures, reels, content for social media?
Bankhead is probably the best because it has a variety of places to hike, and there's so many different beautiful places there. There's really easy to wander and find just an unknown, unnamed waterfall, take a picture of it, and create content out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned in the last episode that you have 2 small children. So for our hikers out there who have kids, which one would you say is the most kid-friendly?
Dismal's Canyon, hands down, is an incredible place to take your kids. There's so much wonder there, and my kids loved going there and picking up the giant, like, 4-foot leaves. Well, okay, excuse me. Let's try this again. The giant 2-foot leaves, and they loved finding all the different nooks and crannies. And we haven't done this yet, but they have glow worms during the summer that you can go do a night tour. Yeah. You can go camping in under a rock shelter. There's so many great things for kids to do at Dismal Canyons.
Okay. And you mentioned the big leaf. I think I have a picture of my niece when we went there, and she held up this huge leaf and it just covered her whole head. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
that's always fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we've talked about the hikes, let's talk about some hiking do's and don'ts. And you posted a really good reel several months ago about things to not do when you go hiking, and it was pretty popular. So do you want to tell us some of these don'ts?
So to start off with, do not trust any online source, but especially AllTrails. I know a lot of people that go to AllTrails. It's not that it's bad for gaining information. AllTrails is a wonderful source of information. Mm-hmm. The problem with AllTrails is that it's crowdsourced, so anyone can make an entry. And a lot of these will have you park illegally. They'll have you go the wrong way. They'll have you end up somewhere where you shouldn't. And you shouldn't primarily use AllTrails to plan your trip. Absolutely use it as a tool for gaining information on what to do, but make sure you double check whatever you find on AllTrails somewhere else.
Okay. So it's kind of like a Wikipedia type source then, where you can edit freely.
Well, you can't even edit it. That's the problem, is that you make them, like anyone can make them, and then there's no editing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So Wikipedia is always getting updated by new people, but this one is, you make it and then it stays.
That's it. Okay. Well, that's good to know. What is your next don't on the list?
Do not use your phone as your primary source of navigation. Your phone has a battery life, and especially when you're taking pictures and videos, that battery life gets shortened. Your GPS receiver on your phone can be very accurate, but a lot of phones are not accurate at GPS. And places like Bankhead just don't have cell phone service. People don't know that your cell phone uses not just GPS, but it also uses cell phone towers for determining where you are, because the GPS receiver isn't the best. Mm-hmm. So it's not good to use it as your primary source of navigation. I've had times where I was using it as my primary source of navigation, and I was fighting against my battery life to get out of the woods. Now, I have a really good sense of direction, like I was saying earlier. So I knew how to get back to the road. It just wasn't going to be the quickest way.
Right.
And I was kind of cornered into pretty much, as long as I was going semi-straight, I would end up hitting a road. But it would have taken me an extra hour to get out of the woods. You know, that's just one example I have of where I was using it, and I knew better. And so now you do.
So if you're like me, who needs like landmarks, like, you know, turn left at the McDonald's and right at the Sonic, you're probably not going to do very well out in Bankhead, correct?
No, if you're not good with directions and not good navigating with a map and compass, get a hiking GPS. They last, you know, battery hours last forever. Okay. It's a second source GPS too, so you can use it primarily. And if something happens to it, then you can whip out your phone if you need to.
Yeah,
hiking GPSs are absolutely a great way of navigating.
Okay, all right. So what's next on your do not do list?
Wear appropriate clothing. This one seems obvious, but I have not checked the weather in the middle of July. Going out to Bankhead in the middle of July, and I dressed for hot, and it was 67 and rainy that day in July in Alabama. It hit me by surprise. I was freezing the entire time because I was not prepared for the weather.
Yeah.
It's absolutely necessary to check the weather, even in July when you know it's going to be hot and humid.
So maybe take some layers. That way you can put on, take off, be prepared.
Yeah.
All right. What's next on your do not do list?
Not bringing a first aid kit. Always bring a first aid kit. I went out hiking in November. Actually, it was the first time I met Adventuring Light Amanda. We went out hiking, and I had my kit on my shoulders, and I had a coffee in my right hand, and I was walking, and my left foot got caught in a root.
Oh, no.
And with my kit on my shoulders, I can't catch myself. I can't go down frontwards, so I have to just fall down to my knees, and I ended up with a huge gash in my knee.
Oh,
and I ended up with 7 staples in my knee later.
Yikes.
And I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything to clean it. I didn't have anything to wrap it. I just had to get out of there. So absolutely bring a first aid kit.
So what would you put in the first aid kit? What are some necessities?
You need something to clean your wound and to wrap your wound.
Okay.
You know, most any basic first aid kit would would suffice for most hiking.
All right. That is very good to know. I'm very clumsy, so I would be that person to trip over a root. So don't feel bad. Okay. What's next on the don'ts list?
So most people know the do, which is bring enough water, but some people don't know the don't, which is don't bring too much water.
Okay.
Now, this one you have to take with a grain of salt because you should be packing enough water for yourself. You need a good bit of water. But mm-hmm. if you have a water filtration system or iodine, then you don't need to pack as much water as you think. I have made the mistake of literally bringing 3 gallons of water on a backpacking trip on the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, wow.
And it was miserable gaining over 1,000 feet with 3 gallons of that of water. I was like early 20s, so I could handle it.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely something that I do not suggest. If you're going on a multiple day trip, make sure you bring a filtration system and not packing all of your water that you need, because it wears you out having to bring that much water. Now, that probably differs between year to year. That definitely differs on where you are. So if I was hiking in the desert, it's different than hiking in Alabama. But Alabama, typically, you can find plenty of water as long as we're not in a drought.
Yeah, because, I mean, just picking up a case of water yesterday at the grocery store, you know, that is really heavy. And, I mean, like you said, you want to be prepared, but whew, I don't want to carry that much around with me.
That's right. Yeah. But do bring enough water. Don't get stuck out in the woods without enough water.
So you think maybe a couple of bottles, if you're just going for a couple hours hike, you think that would be sufficient for most people?
I usually, if I'm going out for a couple hours, I probably bring about 1.5 liters of water.
And I guess it depends too if it's summertime, because you do drink more when you're hot.
Right, right. Absolutely. Okay.
So what else is on your do not do list?
My last one is don't not bring a grocery bag. Always bring a grocery bag with you. And this is not just to throw your own trash away, but it's helpful to pick up trash that other people leave too. You know, we like to leave no trace, leave the trail better than we found it. Respect the woods. And I do find that if I don't bring a grocery sack for trash, I'm always packing up my trash. So if it doesn't go in a grocery sack, it's going randomly into my pack.
Yeah.
So I always make sure that I pack out my trash, and that grocery sack just helps keep it all in there. I can just grab the grocery sack when I get back and throw it away.
All right. Well, these are some great do not do's. Do you have some general hiking tips that you've picked up over the years that you want to share with us before we wrap up?
So your socks are incredibly important. If you don't wear good socks, your socks like cotton will rub your feet raw. Mm-hmm. I wear wool socks. I like my smart wools. Mm-hmm. So socks are just as important, if not more important, than your shoes.
Okay.
Your shoes are important because that's what really grips the ground for you.
Yeah.
But your socks, you don't want to rub through your feet. Obviously bring plenty of water and bring snacks, depending on how long you're going to be out there, more snacks.
Okay.
It's easy to forget how hungry you can get, especially when you're burning calories out on the trail. Most people don't know, people that are hiking uphill have the right of way. So if you're out on a hiking trail, if you're coming downhill, you should be yielding to people coming uphill. It's just a common unknown yield that people don't know about. Another one is always know your way back. We talked about this when we were talking about navigation tools. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get lost in the woods. It's part of actually leave no trace is to plan ahead and to make sure you don't get lost in the woods.
Yeah.
And the last one is, of course, leave no trace. You know, we've kind of gone over a couple of those principles.
Yeah. And we actually did an episode. It was episode number 14 on Leave No Trace. And we had someone with the organization on there. And one of our ambassadors, Cody, was on that episode as well. So we'll have that linked in the description if you want to listen to that and find out what those principles are. Well, I think that wraps it up. We've got 5 top hikes. We've got some really good don'ts, some good things to do as well. So thanks for being here today again, David.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And you want to tell our listeners, remind them where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Facebook, Huntsville Adventure, TikTok now.
Okay.
Huntsville Adventure. I just started posting on TikTok and it seems to be doing pretty well. And on Instagram, as Huntsville Adventure, or Twitter, HSV Adventure.
Okay. And it's Adventurer. Remember.
Adventurer, yes. That's right. One of my biggest mistakes in branding.
And look for the Fox logo too. That way you'll know that you've got the right one.
Well, only on Facebook. I think that I have me in a superhero pose on the other one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, all right. That concludes this episode. And North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.